Hello, everyone, and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, bringing you this special edition blooper reel of our good friend, Craig Hemke, a.k.a. Turd Ferguson, of the TF Metals Report. It's been a pretty stressful week for everybody. It doesn't seem to matter which market it was. Everything was under pressure. A lot of traders were under stress and duress. We got a lot of depressing emails from folks, so I thought it might be fun just to cheer people up with a little bit of comedic interludes here. And these excerpts are just a mashup of different conversations that Corey and I have had with Craig. Some of these are pre-call banter, post-call discussions, joking around, horsing around, not to be taken too seriously. And then I've intermixed a lot of funny interludes from some of the interviews we've done with Craig over the last year. So hope everybody enjoys this. Just a little lighthearted way to end the week. And everybody have a great rest of your weekend. Without further ado, here's Craig Hemke.
So anyway, are we done?
Shad, how do you want to, what are you thinking? Like, yeah, we can just talk about
this. No, I'll talk about anything you want me to talk about. So just get started. We'll just do whatever and we'll do it. On that happy note, let's bring in Craig Hemke of TF Metals Report. Everybody knows he's just a pumper and a shill.
Let's bring on this pumper.
Craig, what do you think?
It's going higher, everybody. It's going higher.
Right. There you go.
All right. Here, let's do this. One sec here, Craig.
Welcome in.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in. Here we go.
I love it when you front run the intro.
Yeah. There's a couple people that do that, and I just more ignore them, but that's fine.
That's good.
Here we go. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Your takeaway, Craig, I know this is a frustrating market, but boy oh boy, what do you have to say about the coming after Labor Day still being under pressure?
Well, Corey, it's Friday afternoon. Can we just not talk about this and I can just go drink instead?
Sure, you want to go? We can just start watching football, can't we?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, something. There's got to be something more fun than this. I probably remember our past conversations better than you guys do because I just talked to you and you guys talked to everybody. But it, yeah, I mean, you guys talk to everybody every day and I go to Twitter, whatever, and just saying. So anyway, sure. I'm just a delusional gold bug. That's fine. But I also watch this shit every single day and I can connect a number of dots when you ask me. So let's go.
Well, let's get into it. Here we go. One sec, Craig.
And at the last FOMC 9 days ago, they gave this, you know, this oxymoron of dovish taper, right? Where they said, yeah, we're going to start tapering, but we can always change course if we need to. Well, that's interesting. I'm sure you guys have noticed. I mean, it's a little odd. It's not maybe that noteworthy. You know, it's not a be-all, end-all. And I probably don't want to spend a whole lot of time, you know, looking into it every week. Leave that up to, you know, people like me that have nothing better to do. So I'm not going to sit here and try to say, look, so all these dots connect perfectly, but there is the potential here for a bigger picture. Look, I'm just telling you, I mean, who am I? I'm just this dope out here in the middle of nowhere. You know, like I'm John Nash connecting all these strings on his wall. Don't say you weren't warned by the dope with a MacBook.
Well, Craig, I think you're a very sharp dope with a MacBook, and I like that you connected all the strings there. That was a good one, Super Sleuth.
Yes, we'll see. Now, maybe I connect all those dots and it just ends up being like a pentagram or something, Chad.
Yeah.
It's like a Dan Brown novel. He's the code breaker.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I got to get a tweed jacket, be running around. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Hey, you know.
We'll see.
This year is a lot like, you know, that period 13 through 18, where everything else was going up and doing fine. The mining shares just stunk on ice all year long. You can certainly see, you know, a downtrend continuing, you know, like, oh, here we are again, all excited, just like we were 2 months ago. And then they pull, you know, the rug gets pulled out from under us and down we go. And again, nobody cares. I mean, it's just not what anybody's focused on. And that gets us, I guess, in a way back to where we began.
Fair enough, Craig. We'll wrap it up here. Look, there's just not that much more to talk about. And the toughest part about it is that if you hold any of the shares, a lot of those just keep on drifting. So
that's depressing. But what? Hey, at least I made it 11 years into running a precious metal site before I finally became suicidal. So that's good.
Good. You know, that's longer than a lot of other people.
Right. Yeah. See, so there's something to be. Maybe that's what I'll change a tagline to. TF Metals Report. Still here somehow after 11 years.
There you go.
Which would be another 10, 12% down from here. I mean, it was just down all through London, and then you got the U.S., and it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. But, hey, that's where we are in 2021, man.
It is the world we live in.
So anyway, on that happy note.
Now I'm closer to the ledge.
Who's going to hold the net for us, Chad? If we get Corey out there to hold the net while you and I jump.
He'd be like, you gold bugs. What is wrong with you guys?
Just take a header.
The goal, yeah, I don't know. It's a tough market, man.
It's just terrible. So anyway, why don't we start there? We'll just see where we go.
That's such a rosy thought.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is. Sure. It has been very frustrating, like I said, since last summer. Extraordinarily frustrating. And it just destroys sentiment and makes no... I mean, look at open interest in COMEX Silver is down like to 140,000 contracts from the all-time high of 240,000 contracts. And so there's just no interest. No pun intended. And so that's where you keep thinking, well, okay, well, sentiment can't get any worse. Well, look, it can't get any better either. So we can talk about that.
Sure. So,
go ahead.
I'll just talk like this.
A lot of issues for this.
Sure, everybody how depressed I am.
God, did you hear Craig? He's so depressed. You hear his voice? You could hear it in his voice.
The dungeon. Oh, God.
Everybody 6-8 months ago saying, oh, the sector's washed out. Sentiment's too low.
So, right.
I don't think it's
worse. And, you know, one thing for people that people need to keep in mind, and you may think I'm just, you know, some people think I'm just pumping sunshine. Well, what if gold does go higher from here? Beginning in September, I guess. God, how many times have I said this? Sudden, by the end of September, the chart's going to look fantastic. No, it doesn't now. You know? And so it's maddening in that regard. So the dollar's been stronger this week because interest rates are rising, which, again, that's a whole other topic. I think that's silly, but, you know, it's not up to me to program the computers. And all the stuff comes together to completely wipe out our sentiment again and leave me looking for my bottle of Tito's.
Well, Craig, what hope, I guess, do precious metals investors have right
now? None.
What will drive the market higher? Or, hey, is it a dead market now? Did we just have the bull market and now... have we rolled over?
Again, we're lamenting, and I'm all depressed and sad at, you know, basically $1,800 gold. Well, somehow I managed to make it through 6 years in the desert at $1,200 gold. You know, if anything, you know, look, everybody knows I make these annual forecasts, and the last couple of years have been pretty good, and we always joke about it, Corey, because it's like, you know, when you're right, like I was the last couple of years, it's like everybody goes, well, yeah, you know, anybody could have seen that coming. And then when you're wrong, like this year, you know, everybody's like, hey, look, you're an idiot. And they're probably right about the idiot part. Now, again, not trying to make it sound like, you know, yours truly is Nostradamus. But in my annual forecast that I wrote and posted for everybody to read, which is sometimes a fool's errand to do, my last couple of annual forecasts have been pretty good. Yeah. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. Doesn't matter.
It's like, no one cares about that sector.
No. Nope. Nobody cares. Here today on the 26th, we had not only Goon Bullard from St. Louis come out and say, oh no, we need to be tapering right now and get it done as soon as possible. It's like, what? I mean, is it really this disjointed? I mean, I know all of these goons, they love the publicity they get. They love being able to get quoted on Bloomberg and see that they can move the markets and stuff. Like, there's no doubt people like Cash Gary are, you know, publicity hounds. But I think what you're getting now is everybody getting marshaled all singing from the same hymnal, like I said. Then 7:45 Eastern, you get Mistress Countess of the Dark Lagarde and the ECB interest rate statement.
We'll see how it goes with these banksters and the goons, your goon squad.
Yeah, the goons, yeah. Yeah, it's been nice. You know, you get that quiet period ahead of the feds. We haven't had to deal with any of those pricks this week.
There's no protest outside their house with megaphones with people shouting at them.
Jeez, my fucking ways.
Right.
Bank of Canada was interesting this week, though, hey? Full-on stopping the QE program.
Those forward-thinking Canadian progressives. Yeah. And last I checked, there is not a single ounce of gold in your reserves up there, your official reserves. So
yeah.
You got to think a little more forward, too.
That was liquidated a while ago.
Yep. I think the last 10 ounces were dumped, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Somebody found like a 10-ounce bar in the back of the vault and went, what the fuck is this?
What is this paperweight? Yeah, well, I don't know. It's interesting. It hasn't really, I guess, mattered. No one seems to care that Canada has no more gold in its reserves.
Nobody cares.
No.
Nobody cares. It's just unbelievable. It's just, it's 2021 is what it is. That's all it is. It's a crazy world that we live in.
You put somebody like Brainerd in charge and she nominates a whole bunch of other freaks to be on the board of governors of the Fed. Oh, shit. Be ready. Now, again, this isn't just the rantings of a lunatic gold bug. Everything that's not nailed down is going to go up.
Who knows where that's going to go?
It screws my kids and my grandkids, but fuck them. I want gold to go up in the next couple of years, so I'll take my chances.
Screw the future.
Yeah, we need it to move sooner rather than later.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Screw the future. I'm worried about me.
Oh, that's why we're invested in that sector, though.
And again, I think we all like, oh, look at my gold's up 25%. Your stocks are only 15. Ha ha ha. Look at me. That's fun to try to compare them for what they are intended to do in an, you know, otherwise balanced portfolio, putting on my financial hat. I mean, think of, you know, the old traditional financial planner balanced portfolio of 60% stocks and 40% bonds. That's getting the crap kicked out of it, right? There's no place to hide. So again, this notion, what amazes me is the markets, these smart, otherwise smart people have been fooled now on a couple of different occasions that the Fed, oh yes, the Fed, very responsible, and they're now going to start hiking rates to control inflation, and they're also going to pare down their balance sheet. Come on, man. Seriously? How many times are you going to pull that line? People are going to see through it pretty quick, and then the Fed's going to reverse, and then the curtain is pulled back. People, I mean generalists, hedge fund managers, that kind of stuff, people that read Forbes, they will finally see that the curtain's been pulled back and, you know, the Fed is really just trying to inflate bubbles as long as they can for as long as possible.
Yeah, Craig, the curtain will be pulled back and they'll realize the Wizard of Oz is just a crazy old man with a bunch of levers.
And a purple tie.
Yeah, startlingly purple tie.
Why now? Why this time? After a decade, even more than a decade, people complaining about the Fed, why this time is it going to be different? Because in all fairness, again, I've heard this argument and it hasn't rung true yet.
Well, because Corey, I don't know how many times I got to point at your shirt like you dribbled gravy below your chin and have you look down and then I doink you with my finger. I mean, how many times are you going to fall for that? You know, I mean, they play this game trying to convince everybody that everything's fine. We've got it all under control and just go about your business. And that's worked for a lot of people so far because the Fed just keeps creating money and everybody believes there's still value in the dollar and in their savings and all that kind of stuff. But again, I would just remind you and everybody listening that they played this game for 5 years. And so I just think everything is still broken in that regard. But man, this is a pretty tenuous spot. Frankly, I'm surprised Powell wanted the job a second time. If I was him, man, I'd just retire and start collecting six-figure speech payments. This notion that the Fed's going to hike 6 times this year and that inflation's going to come down and all of a sudden they're going to get Fed funds above inflation, come on. That's as silly as the whole transitory thing was a year ago at this time. Just the Fed can sit there and defend their credibility, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, if you got to defend your credibility, maybe you don't have as much credibility as you think. I digress. Let me give you one more thing, too, because this always baffles me. Why the hell does it take 3 weeks for the Fed to crank out the minutes? You know? I mean, what they have an army of people making $300,000 a year. They got their own police force. You're telling me they don't have a collection of stenographers and secretaries that can transcribe that crap from 24 hours worth of meetings and put it out the next day? The hell did they take 3 weeks for? They weren't going to go out on a limb talking about that, but 3 weeks later, maybe we'll include some of that stuff. Look, this is, maybe I sound like a whack job, but again, why in the world does it take 3 weeks for that information to be made public? I mean, that could all be transcribed and made public as soon as Powell finishes his press conference. And the information, by the time you get it, is 74 hours old. You know, they survey at the close of the COMEX on Tuesdays, and then, oh, God, no, we can't turn that out in a couple hours. It's like the FOMC minutes. No, we got to have 3 full freaking days. And if there's a holiday, oh, God forbid. No. We're going to go all the way to Monday and make it 6 days old. So it's not like the bond market doesn't know what's going on. And a lot of folks say that the bond market is actually anticipating the next round of rate cuts. How about that? That they're looking at it going, oh, yeah, yeah, the Fed is going to tighten into a declining economy. We're going into stagflation. And then the next thing they're going to have to do is turn around and cut, putting, you know, the old Powell put back into play. It's just crazy. It is a crazy, crazy time. You know, it makes my old line about how the price of my precious metal may go up and down on a daily basis, but the value of it only seems to go up, only seems to get greater. Man, in this environment where we are now, that's more true today than ever. And I own some mining shares, but that's just kind of for fun. All of the underlying stuff, the rationale why I started buying physical metal in the first place, has only gotten more bullish, sadly, as the years have gone by.
Well, I know the markets are forward-looking, Craig, but for people to already be looking for them to get all the way into rate hiking,
right,
and then admit that they're going to have to start cutting rates again and start becoming more accommodative again is really forward-looking. Nobody
yes.
really knows what's going to happen.
Again, we'll just put that in the category of things that could catch everybody by surprise. I mean, nobody considers and say, that's exactly what's going to happen because next year is going to be a crazy year. And again, you think, bullish, right? Everything else is going on. All Democrats spending trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions. And then bang. But man, out of the blue, billions and trillions of dollars. Everybody just kind of goes along and chases stock market returns and everything else. And gold just kind of lollygags a lot of the time. But when it gets revealed, oh, wait a second, they are kind of full of crap. Oh, yeah, they are trapped. Then all of a sudden you get a surge of sentiment and a surge of funds into a very small sector, and you get dramatic moves. There are people I see on Twitter that are still deflationists. You know, they talk about gold going to 900 and all this other, and it's just malarkey. Prices are going to be going higher as this all gets revealed and understood. Not straight up, you know, even on a day like today. You know, gold goes up, then it goes straight down, then it goes up. Then they roll out Goon Bullard to talk about, you know, 5 rate hikes or something in the next 5 days or whatever he said, and gold goes straight back down. It's never going to be, you know, some kind of straight up that everybody wants. And you start putting a 2 in front of the gold price, and I mean, it's going to be everywhere. You know, in the mainstream media, Bloomberg, CNBC, you know, they're all going to be talking about, oh, wow, gold's 2,000. What does this mean? Nah, I don't think we're going to go up 9-fold from here. Be fine with me if we did. Probably everybody listening to us think that's just dandy. However, on the upside, when the dollar turns, you're going to see a rally that's going to melt your eyebrows. I mean, that's what a bull market looks like. And, you know, we might be in for a little better year in the precious metals than many were expecting. But there's some stuff there that makes me, you know, at least gives me a little optimism going into, you know, a season of hope and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a holiday season. We're supposed to be happy and optimistic, right? Man, I look forward to, like I said, a wildly unpredictable 2022. It's going to be pretty interesting. Isn't that something? Done with the year. Where did it go? And man, next year, I'm afraid it's going to be a doozy, right? At the end of the day, what I was just having a discussion with a friend of mine about this yesterday, who, you know, is a traditional, not whacked out gold bug like me, okay? He's like a regular person. And, I mean, you guys know this. I mean, if you're going to be a gold bug, like, you know, I've dedicated my life to being for the last dozen years, and it's a pretty complicated picture you got to try to sift through, you know? What determines the price is not just, you know, a dot on a screen. And, maybe at the end of the day, that's why so many of these historical fundamental relationships have been thrown out the window, because so much is done by computer and not by what would normally be rational thinking, carbon-based traders. But again, like the stock market, like so many other things, it's like all the traditional relationships, the traditional fundamental things that you've always relied on in the past just suddenly just don't even seem to matter anymore. And so you're left in this, well, you know, look at it. Everybody's so bearish. You know, there's got to be a time. But man, things have looked the worst now for months. It doesn't seem to get any better. The Fed's got a real mess on their hands, and they've got to keep the plate spinning. Because inflation, even if it slows, guys, later this year, let's say, you know, some of the guys on CNBC are right. Oh, yeah, inflation is going to slow back down to 4%. Okay. It's not like you reset back to where prices were 2 years ago and go up 4% now. I mean, all these price hikes are already included. And again, anybody that thinks that inflation is actually only 7% is crazy. Now, the Fed tried to square that circle. They tried to say that their CPI forecast for next year is 2.6%, down from 5.2% this year. Okay, good luck with that if you're not really impacting anything until 2023. But at a time when the Fed, you know, and everybody else, oh, yeah, we're going to hike. And Jamie Dimon says we're going to hike 27 times, actually, this year, that sort of thing, because that would be logical to assume that's coming next. So here we are, maybe tightening into a stagflationary recession. And, you know, there, I was joking on my site this week, you didn't gamble on anything these days, right? And I'm not just talking like, you know, cricket and soccer matches. I'm in the markets, you can gamble on anything. The Russian events is like, you know, reaching down on Wheel of Fortune and giving that wheel a big old spin, man. They spun it forward a couple of weeks ago, and we're still dealing with the aftermath. The grains are just going bananas. I think wheat was up, limit up every single day this week. But geez, isn't it nice just to be talking about something going up? I mean, it's been a while since we've been able to have this kind of conversations. So, you know, I was all excited, you know, last as it happened, you think, okay, yeah, it's just going to keep going. So again, you know, you talk about, oh, well, hey, the Fed's going to tighten, you know, and all that. Yeah, 25 basis points later this month isn't going to do much for crude at 112. Last Friday, wasn't the Fed, but it was Bill Dudley, who was, you know, former head of the New York Fed. So, I mean, this is a pretty important guy. Of course, now he works for Goldman Sachs. That shouldn't surprise anybody. I call him Horseface, but Bill Dudley, who has kind of a little John Elway, kind of long bucktooth face to him. So anyway, I don't mean to be mean to him, but he is a former Fed official. So I feel like he does deserve to be castigated and ridiculed. But nonetheless, I think with Dudley, you know, the old adage, don't fight the Fed. If they're telling you that the Fed is just going to keep raising in the hope of breaking the stock market, well, hell's bells, maybe we ought to take them seriously. I mean, think about that. But that's what they're telling you they're going to do. Okay, knock yourself out, Billy, you know, and the rest of them. Let's see you do it. Let's just see if you buckle like Powell did in 2018. I mean, Dudley was on Bloomberg yesterday talking about 5% Fed funds. What? Look, when push comes to shove, they are not going to choose fighting inflation over rescuing the banks and all of their friends at BlackRock and every place else. So the Fed is not, and Bill Dudley be damned, they're not taking Fed funds to 5%. Because the 10-year note at 5% would just destroy everything. I mean, it would destroy everything. It'd be like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man walking down through Manhattan, just the destroyer from Gozer. It's just not going to happen. You know, I've been doing this for 12 years, and, you know, over the time, whenever I bring up de-dollarization and yeah, everybody, oh, you're just a goof. You're, you know, tinfoil hatter. You're just, you know, a charlatan trying to get people to listen to your videos. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And that's just all these people with their recency bias that think tomorrow is always going to be like just like yesterday. Wednesday, in his testimony on Capitol Hill, Powell said there's room for, in the world, maybe for a second reserve currency. What? I about fell out of my chair.
Well, we'll wrap it up here, Craig. Look, the market is under pressure. There's no denying that. It's unloved right now, and unfortunately, it got whacked again, and now all eyes are back on that.
I don't know what else there is.